Turan Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. And if you see, there's a Tosfos Dibra Maskil Islay Dirav Hamnuna. So if you draw a line parallel to the Gemara, the two dots in Mishanises. You see the Tosfos Islay
Dirav Hamnuna.
So straight across the Vim Nises. Okay, Vim Mishanises.
Yeah.
So the first, the Gemara of course quotes the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that in cases where we had a suffolk, and she relied on whatever evidence that was in her favor that she could get remarried, and she went ahead and got remarried, then once she gets married and she has what to rely on, then even if Edom come later, lo teitze. And the Mishnah doesn't really clarify the following question. This is the issue that the Gemara is going to approach. These last words, via Mishanisseis bo edim, appear at the end of the Mishnah. We're not sure whether it goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah or it's only attached to what we call the Seif of the Mishnah. We'll go through the two possibilities and then we'll see the Gemara inside. One possibility is to say that this addition goes back to the Reisha. The Reisha of our Mishnah is a case of Eishes Ish. The Seif of the Mishnah is a case of a Shvuya. In other words, the first part of the Mishnah is addressing a question of whether or not she's finished with this marriage and she can therefore enter into another marriage and marry anyone. That's the issue at stake. In the Seif of the Mishnah, the issue is whether she can marry a Kohen or not, because if she was taken captivity, so the Rabbanah made a Gzera that a Shvuya cannot marry a Kohen, because we assume that maybe she had a Be'ila and that passed her as a Zona to Kohen. So in the Reisha, what happens is she claims that she was an Eishes Ish, admitting that fact, but that she got a get and she was divorced. And she's believed. That's called a Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter, because we have no independent evidence to establish that she was ever married. So we only know it from her, and she says she got a get.
Right.
Now what happens is, Edom come in to testify that they know that she got married. And in effect, they are removing the rug from under our feet as far as the Pesha Asa is concerned. The Pesha Asa was only meaningful because we had no independent evidence. Now we have independent evidence that she was an Eishes Ish. And yet the Mishnah says, according to this pshat, if it's going back on the Reisha, that im niseis lo teitze. And the reason for that is because before the Edom came, she had a Pesha Asa Pesha Yiter. It's a funny kind of thing. At the moment that she got married, there was no Eidus in Beis Din. Beis Din just had her word for it, and that's Pesha Asa Pesha Yiter. What should we say now that Edom came in, and the Pesha Asa Pesha Yiter is now faulty, it's not reliable? Should we now tell her, we got to bust up the marriage? So according to this pshat, the answer is no. In this case, lo teitze. The second interpretation is no. This last phrase in the Mishnah relates to the Seif of Shvuya and only to the Seif of Shvuya. Now, in the case of Shvuya, we're not dealing with an Eishes Ish. So when she says, I was a Shvuya, I was Nishpeis, but nevertheless, Tahorani, she claims that there was no Be'ila, and therefore she's Muteris L'Kohen. She has a Pesha Asa, a Pesha Hita, because we have no evidence that she was a Shvuya. But now, Edom come in and testify that we know that she was a Shvuya. That takes the rug out of under her Pesha Asa. The Pesha Asa falls apart. But she went ahead and got married to a Kohen before the Edom came in. So at the moment that she got married to the Kohen, she had a bona fide Pesha Asa, Pesha Hita. So the Mishnah says that since she got married beheter, we're not going to break up her marriage to the Kohen, even though now the Edom came into Beis Din and established that she was a Shvuya, and therefore her Peshos, her Pesha Yiter is nullified. So the Gemara now brings two dais, and we're up to the Gemara parallel to Tosfos Dibra Maskil Islay on the side. And the Gemara says first, Rav Oshia Masnile Aresha, Rav Bar Ovin Masnila Aseifa. It means that according to Rav Oshia, this last statement of him, Niseis Lo Teitze, when the Edom come in later after she got married, and they remove the Pesha Asa from under her feet, that applies even to the Resha. The Resha is a case of an Eishes Ish. You know, we're dealing with the most severe of all Isurim. And yet, since she got married by Heter at the time that she had a Pesha Asa, we're not going to break up her marriage. Certainly, how much more so, in the case of the Sefer, which is only a case of an Isa L'Kuhuna, in the case of Shvuya. And not only that, even the Isa to Shvuya, to Kohen, is not definite, because we don't have Edim that she had such a relationship. How much more so, since she got married by Heter at the time that she had a Peshas of Peshita, we're not going to break up the marriage later on when the Edim come. But Rabbi Bar Ovin, on the other hand, Masni La Seifa, he's not willing to go as far as to say that we're going to allow a married woman that we know was married, because we have now testimony, to live with another man. We have to break up that marriage. There's a suffocatious ish over here. Even though, again, I grant you that she had a Peshasa Peshita when she got married, but now she no longer has a Peshasa Peshita because the Edim come into Bezdin. So the Gemara says the following, Man de Masnila Reisha Kointer of Oshia, that this din of him, this Eslo Tetzigo, goes back on the Reisha. In the case where an Eishes Isha Yisivinis Garashti, she claims that she got a get. And we're dealing with a case of an Iser Eishes Ish, which is an Iser Torah. And yet, according to Rav Oshia, the Mishnah is telling me in this Eish Lotesi, Kol Shkein HaSeifa, how much more so in the case of Nishbesi Utoharani, the Bishvuya Hekelu, since the entire Iser of a Shvuya to a Kohen is only Durabanan, because again, just to reiterate, we don't have any Eidus to testify that she had this Be'ila to the Shovi, is how much more so with regard to an Issa Derabbanan, once she had a Peshas, a Peshita, and she got married on that basis, we're not going to break up the marriage. But Uman de Masni La Sefer, but according to Rabba Bar Ovin, who interprets that the Imnisei Slotetzi is only going on the Sefer, namely in the case of Nishbesi Utahorani, and then she got married to a Kohen, then the Eidim came in to testify that she was a Shruya. In that case, then we're going to be Mekil and we're going to allow her to remain married to the Kohen since the whole Issa is only Durabana. And that's called Imnishay Slotetzav Al Aresha. But we won't go as far as to apply the same rule of Imnishay Slotetzav in the case of the Resha, where she said, Ishasisha Yisi, Ugrushani, because there we're dealing with a real Issa Torah of the most severe nature, namely an Eishes Ish. Lo, in this case, once the Edom come and they testify that she was an Eishes Ish, they have no clue that she received a get, and in order to be Matir an Eishes Ish, we need much more than her word. Where's the get? Where are the Edom to testify that she was divorced? Ella, what, she had a Pesach Pesahitir, but now we know otherwise. We're smarter now. We know that she doesn't have a Peshas or Peshahita. So what do we say about a woman who has a Cheskas Eishes Ish based on the evidence of two Edim? She went ahead and she got married to another man. At this point, we're going to have to break up that marriage, and that's going to be Tetzeh. So that's according to Rabbi Bar Ovin. So again, just to reiterate, Rabbi Oshia takes this the furthest, and he applies it even in the Reisha, how much more so in the Sefer, meaning even in the case of Eishes Ish, we apply the principle of Imnisei Slotetze, because at the time she got married, she had a Peshas. Rava is much more conservative. He's not willing to go that far to be Matir and Eishes Ish based on a Peshas, a Peshita, which is no longer. And therefore, he's going to limit the statement of the Mishnah in the end of the Mishnah, Mishanisei Slotetze, to the case of Shmuya, which in the worst case is only an Issa Derabanan, and the Rabbanan are going to rely on this Pesha Asar once she gets married, and they are not going to bust up the marriage to the Kohen.
The different types of cases, I may be wrong on this, but let's say she wasn't being honest, and she was a Bu'ula from
a guy.
Get capture, and she married, and on her deception, she married the Kohen. Is a kedusha not chal? Like with a gerusha,
well,
a kedusha
that's
is chal,
that's a gigantic sugya mesechta yivamis, actually, about whether kedusha not tovsim v'chayve lafim. So we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, if I remember correctly, there are like five shittas in Tanoim that ain't kedusha tovsim v'chayve krisus, but kedusha not tovsim v'chayve lafim. And since Zona Lakoin is only Chayvi Lav, and therefore the Kedusha would be Chav.
So my question then is, how can we even learn from that case to the case of HSH, which obviously is more Chomer Kay, but that's the case where the Kedusha obviously is not Chal in the second marriage.
So wait a minute, you're asking a question on Rav Oshia.
I'm not sure.
The Rav Oshia.
I didn't see how you can learn a Kabbal Chayvi Lav from different types of cases.
Well, I would say the following, that if you're going to be Mekil and Isu, they're abundant in the very same...
Yeah, that part I hear, but the fact right. that in that case it's Kedush L'Chal, there's no, not even in the Kedush L'Chal, is it, can you actually make... I'm not quite sure I'm asking...
So one second, again.
It comes in a Kabbal Chevra, then it's not quite that.
My Kabbal Chevra is the following. That if we can be Mekel and Ashes Ish, then we could certainly be Mekel and Nisim Rabban. So you're saying that maybe there's a pirch on that Kabbal Chomer, because in the case of a Shvuya, since even in the worst case scenario, she's
in
Zona.
In that case, she's going to need a get, where in the case of Ashes, it's not a question of get even. The condition was never Chal.
So one second. So you want to say the following, that since she's going to need a get, that's why we should say. In this case, Teitze? Is that more of a Svara to say Teitze?
No, it's more of a Svara, but maybe...
Again, so again, the whole sugya is asking the following. Let's just focus...
There's a Kabbal Chomer, there's got to be some sort of...
Wait, let's go slowly. The focus of the sugya is addressing the following question. Do we break up her marriage when she loses the Peshas of Peshahit? Right? So what we're saying is the following. When that marriage is a suffocatious ish, then maybe we would want to break up that marriage because she has a cheskes eishes ish. We don't know about a get, and therefore her marriage to the second husband has to end, has to terminate. If on the other hand we could, in the shita of Rav Oshia, let me just make sure I got the names here, Rav Oshia, we are going to allow her to remain married despite the suffek eishes ish, then how much more so in the same case where there's no eishes ish, we're only dealing with maximum an Issa D'Rabbanan, how much more so should we recognize that marriage and not break it up? Now, you're throwing in another element to the equation. I'm trying to understand if it's relevant.
It's probably not relevant.
Namely, that what? That her marriage, in this case, is recognized by the Torah. But again, I would think that would only strengthen the logic of Rav Oshia, let's say, in this case. Meaning, if Rav Oshia feels that even in the case of Eishes Ish, we're going to allow her to remain married. Then, on the contrary, I think you're adding,
I'm actually struggling because the condition is
tofus. So for sure, we don't want to break up. Okay. We don't want to break up that marriage. On the other hand, we have the shita of Rava, and I would not downplay that shita because he's not willing to go as far as to allow her to remain married when she has a cheskes eishes ish. Now let me just point out that I think Rav Oshia is arguing the following, that there are two chazakas here, not just one. Rav Oshia is willing to say that once she gets married, she creates a new chazaka. In other words, to the same extent that she had a chazaka that she was married to the first one, she now has a chazaka that she's married to the second one. We don't want to break up that marriage because that would undermine that chazaka. Now, it's true that on a logical basis, meaning if you look at this from a perspective of logic, then the second chazaka doesn't get off the ground.
Because the suffix arose before.
Correct. But that's not how chazaka operates. In other words, chazaka works in a world unto itself. And although the halacha will not recognize a chazaka if it was done be'isur, meaning if we came to a definite conclusion, she's an Eishes Ish, and she went ahead and got married, we're not going to recognize the chazaka of the second husband. But in a case where we told her that she's allowed to get married, the halacha itself generates or legislates this heter. Why? Because she has a peshas of peshahit there. That marriage now is recognized by the halacha. The marriage was beheter. And I think Rav Oshia's logic is, then why do you prefer the first chazaka over the second chazaka? Again, not on a logical basis. On a logical basis, the second chazaka really doesn't... It pales compared to the first chazaka, because the first chazaka is telling you that she could not possibly establish the second chazaka. But on the other hand, we had a suffek. We don't know if she had a get from the first chazaka. Maybe that first chazaka terminated. Rav Oshia adds to the fact that she has now a new chazaka. Why would we break up that new chazaka based on suffek? So it could be that there's a fundamental machlokas here about whether the halacha recognizes the second chazaka to the second marriage partner. On a logical basis, it's very hard to do so because we have edus that she has the status of an eishes ish to the first husband. She has no get to our knowledge. In other words, there's no evidence to be mater that cheskas eishes ish. But on a level of chazakas, because chazakas work in their own way. I mean, later on Daf Chav Hey, we're going to learn about a whole different type of chazaka. And the chazaka is that if my father worked in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen, then I have a chazaka to be kosher lava above the Beis HaMikdash. Now, my father's chazaka itself is in question, but it doesn't matter. Since he went ahead and he did the avoda, that itself creates a chazaka for his son that he can do the avoda. That's chazaka works in a very halachic way, meaning according to its own rules and regulations. Now the Gemara comes up with another approach to this machlokas. Now I'm going to say something right now which is incorrect, so beware. But it seems to be correct. When she made that claim before the Edom came in, that Eishes Isha Yisi Ugrushani, what is her husband saying about this? Again, we only know about the existence of her husband from her own confession, because we don't have any objective edus to that effect. But she's telling us the facts on the ground. She was married and she got a divorce. Where is he in this picture? So let me just dramatize it in a childish sort of way. Why don't we subpoena him into Beis Din and let's hear what he has to say? So I'm going to answer the following. Einochinami, he's right here in front of Beis Din. And she says, looking him in the face, you gave me a get. This is the famous principle that we learned earlier in Ksuvus about a blot ago of Rav Hamnuna. And Rav Hamnuna says, "Ein isha me'iza paneh b'fnei bayla." A woman would never have the chutzpah to look her husband in the face and say, "You delivered a get to me." And that principle of Rav Hamnuna is as powerful as a get biyada. It's an absolute proof that she's telling the truth. So let's now plug that into our sugya here. It says in Mishnah, lo teitze. And according to Rav Oshia, that means she said, I was an eishes ish, but I got a get. But now we have two eidim. And therefore we remove the pesha asar. How then could we be matur when there are two eidim that say that she has a cheskes eishes ish? So I tried to press for my agenda was that she was nisseis beheter. At the time we had every reason to give her the green light to get married. And that creates a new chazok, a new facts on the ground. As we say in Hebrew, uvdot bashetach, you know.
And based on your premise, on the fact that Grushani, the Edim are not contradicting, plus you have the Ein Ishmael, Meis Palav, and Ithnei
Vala. Again, when you say you, it depends who you mean by you. You mean Azariah Berzon, or you mean the Gemara itself? Azariah Berzon wanted to say that the reason why Imnisei Sloteitze is simply because she had a right to get married, because at that time she had a Pesha Asar, and now she creates a new Chazok. That was Berzon's approach. The Gemara takes a totally different approach. The Gemara feels that in order to justify Rav Oshia's interpretation of our Mishnah, we have to introduce Rav Hamnuna. And we have to postulate that when she made that claim, Eishes Isha Yisir Grushani, she said that looking her husband in the face, Bifnei Baila, and therefore if Hamnuna says, Ein Isha Me'iza Paneh Bifnei Baila, she's believed to say that she's a Grusha. So that means that even if afterwards the Edom come in and remove the Pesha Asar, we have a totally different reason why we believe her. Her credibility, her nemanis, is based on Ein Me'iza Paneh.
Yeah, so
okay. So that's not my pshat. My pshat was that she created a new chazaka. The Gemara doesn't have that. And for me, that's uncomfortable, because I thought that was, you know, that was a good way of...
How do we know the husband said maybe he's a Medina Seyyid?
Oh. Okay, so that's why what I'm telling you is incorrect. But Lechor, it's correct. Why do I think it's correct? But it's really not correct. But because look at the next line in the Gemara. Lema b'derav hemnuna kamifligi. Maybe the machlokas between Rav Oshia and Rav Bar Ovin is about Rav Hemnuna. Do we accept Rav Hemnuna or do we not accept Rav Hemnuna? The chiddush of Rav Hemnuna was, and we had this back on Chav Beis, is that if a woman says in front of her husband, "You gave me a get," she's believed because ain isha meiza paneh b'fnei baila. And even though we talk about a davrusha be'erva, we're going to be matir and eishes ish based on this ain meiza paneh. And normally, in the case of an erva, we need nothing less than two edim. Rav Hemnuna upgrades this ein isha meiza paneh to the level of two edim. That's how powerful this proof is. Demand demasni alei areisha. We go back to Rav Oshia, who says that even in the case of eisha isha yisiu gushani im nisei sloteitze isle de Rav Hemnuna, he accepts Rav Hemnuna. Uman demasni alei aseifa, but Rav Bar Ovin, who refuses to allow, in the case of Eishas Isha Yisi Gushani, for her credibility to now recognize and legitimize the marriage to the second guy, he rejects Rav Hemnuna. Less late than Rav Hemnuna. So when I read this Gemara, I came to the conclusion that we must be talking about in our Mishnah a case where she made that statement, Eishas Isha Yisi Gushani, in front of her husband. Because if not, what does it have to do with Rav Huna? Rav Huna is basing it on the fact that she was b'fnei baila and ein isha me'iza paneha. But on the other hand, I have to admit the truth. As you said, Daniel, there's no indication in our Mishnah that the husband was around. So what is Gemara talking about? So on this, I have a footnote here. I should really photocopy it for you, but I'll just read you the main points. He says the following: Ein kavanas haGemara lomar sheRav Oshia lamad shehatana who the baMishnah who be amra haisha b'fnei baila gerashtani. Don't believe anyone who tells you that what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that according to Rav Oshia, she made that statement in the presence of her husband gerashtani. Ella, Omeris came rak b'fnei bezdin. She only appears in front of Bezdin. She wants to get a heter to get married, and she says to Bezdin, "Yes, it's true, I was married once, but I got divorced. He's nowhere to be found." Nu im kein, amai shayach hasvar shal eino isha meiza paneh b'fnei baila. What's the Gemara talking about? The ode, he says, isvar satana hu kedivrei Rav Hemnuna. Madua im kein omar atana shali achar shabo eino v'idu sheyesh nesish harei yasura li nosei. Even our Mishnah doesn't give her a carte blanche to get married to the second guy. It's only if she got married before the Edom came. But if the Edom came afterwards, she cannot get married. Why? If you're operating with Rav Hemnuna, Rav Hemnuna says that a woman looks at her husband in his eyes, in his face, and she says, Gerashtani, she's allowed to get married.
She lost her pleasure.
No, I'm saying in the classical case of Rav Hemnuna, that has nothing to do with Pesha. So we know a woman is married. Okay, Plonis Almonis has been married to Ploni Almoni for the last 50 years. They just celebrated their golden anniversary. And now she comes in, and in the presence of her husband, she said she got a get from him. We're allowed. Then Rav Moshe Feinstein can be Masada Kedushin for. Oh yeah, he's gone already, but who could I say? The Grach Kanevsky can be Masada Kedushin. So you see that it's irrelevant to Pesha or Pesha. So why does the Mishnah tell me that when do we say that Nisei Slo Tetzei, that's only because she went ahead and got married before the Edom came in? If we're talking about a woman who testifies in front of her husband that she received a get from him, it's irrelevant whether the Edom came or didn't come. The whole thing is moot. What we have to know is that she ain't any Shemeiza Panem, she can now get married. So what's going on in this sugya? So I have to tell you that the kashas are better than the teretz. He really you know, proves to us that we're not talking about a case of Rav Hemnuna. So what is the Gemara doing here by introducing Rav Hemnuna and in justifying Rav Oshia based on Rav Hemnuna? So he says the following: El Kavanas HaGemara Lidamos Eshnei HaInyon, to find some sort of comparison, analogy between the two. She'im Rav Hemnuna Matiras HaIsha K'sha'omra Bifnei Baila Gerashtani, Hainu mitok she'ein ha'isha me'iza klal lomar b'fnei baila niskarashti. Im kein hu adin gam kisha omra kein shelo b'fanof. Yesh gam kein chazoka she'ein ha'ein hi me'iza lomar kein b'sheker. Ela dahavi chazoka klusha. It's a shvacha chazoka. But still ein isha me'iza. Not ein isha me'iza b'fnei baila, but ein isha me'iza lomar grushan. Lachem kol she'ein oleh cheskas eishes ish. Since we don't know that she's married, because again we're talking before the eidim came in, so it's only her word. Yesh lahatir osa gam kishi yavo eidim achar kaf yoidu al kaf shehi eishes ish. Aval kol shebo ha'edim v'yomru she'eshesis lifnei she'yomra niskarashti einan emenis lomra niskarashti shalo b'fnei baila. Yeah, because there it's not really Hazza's pun anymore.
Right. No.
That was what I just said is wrong. If the edim already came, just one second. If the edim already came, then. Oh, if the Edom already came, then the Chazok of Eini Shemei Iza Panel is a weak, is what? Is a Chazok a Klusha?
Yeah.
We're not going to allow her to get married. But if the Edom haven't come in yet, see, I have a feeling, he doesn't say this, but I think he's also operating with HaPeshos HaPeshahit here. You know what I'm saying? It's like Zegorin.
A plus B. The real question is why, after the Eden come, after she's remarried, why she's not Tetzin?
Right, but that's because. I'm going to give you my explanation, but what's the MS? I don't know. Since she got married based on this Chazaka Klusha, albeit, but it was a Chazaka, and Rav Hemnuna has different dargas of Chazaka on the Richter scale. So therefore, even when the Edom come afterwards, since she has that chazaka, we're going to allow her to get to remain married. We're not going to allow the chatchila to remain. I'll be honest with you, the whole thing is very nebulous. He quotes this whole shtickle Torah in the name of the Tosfos HaRosh. If you look in Tosfos, Tosfos says Islay Drav Hemnuna, Afalgav Drav Hemnuna, Iri Bibifanov, Nikomakom Leinyan Nises, Viakav Bo Edim, Mahani Shalobifanov. So again, Tosfos just sets up the facts on the ground. We're talking about where there's no Bifanov over here, but he says, since you went ahead and got married, and then the Edim came later, that's enough to recognize her marriage and not bust it up, even though her testimony was shalom b'fanav.
There's a problem with it.
You like it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I don't know, you explain it to me. I find it very choppy, to say the least.
The way I see it...
Am I so thirsty? Yeah, go ahead.
She had two times. Yeah? Well, she said two things. She says, I was married. And she said, well, the Edom will come afterwards are only contradicting her or only weakening her claim about that she's married and to take away that Pesha Asa.
Right.
But on the Gerashtani, the Edom have no idea she's not contradicting her.
So, but no, I'm asking, is that Chazaka of Gerashtani enough, even in the absence of a Pesha Asa, to allow her to get married? Because if the Edom came first,
we're talking about after the Edom came after she.
Correct, but I'm asking you the following: if in the case where the Edom came afterwards, they undermine her pesha asa,
yes.
And the reason why Rav Oshia is going to say lo teitze is because of this chazaka of Eini Shemeiza.
So Rav Nuna is working together with your sorrow. Now that she's now got the second chazaka, then she's been married.
Correct, but are you adding two things together?
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
that's the difference.
But I'll tell you,
before they
Daniil, look, I'm not going to reject what you say because Adarava, it's the only way I could get out of this whole mess. But I just want to tell you why it's uncomfortable for me. I was brought up with the following mathematical equation: 0 + 0 = 0. What I mean to say is, you can't just add things together. You know, throw it into a pot and create a cholent out of it. If you're telling me that even shalom bifnei baila, there still is this chazok of enisha me'iza that should operate even after the Edom come into Beis Din. Because where does she have the chutzpah to say gerishtani? Ella what? Obviously, Rav Hamnuna would not go that far. So now you can introduce the Pesha Asar. So the Pesha Asar itself is not enough.
The Pesha Asar has gone away at this time.
Because the Pesha Asar has gone away. So what are you adding here to the Chazaka of Rav Hamnuna in the case of Shalom Befanov? You're adding together two factors, each of which on its own is impotent, is incapable of creating anything. Because again, the Pesha Asar is gone because the Edom came in. The Bifnei Baila, I'm sorry, the Me'iza, but here at Shalom Bifnei Baila, that in and of itself is not enough. Haraya, if the Edom came in, and the Edom don't know that whether she was divorced or not, we're not going to rely on her claim that she's divorced. So you must be introducing the Pesha Asar. No, if you're introducing the Pesha Asar, you just threw out the Pesha Asar. And if you didn't throw out the Pesha Asar, so why do you need Rav Hamnuna at all? The Gemara clearly needs to bolster Rav Hoshea with Rav Hamnuna, meaning that the Pesha Asar itself clearly, admittedly, is insufficient. It's unreliable. No, if the Pesha Asar is unreliable, and Rav Hamnuna is unreliable because in this case it was Shalom Bifnei Baila, so what are you left with? You left with 0 + 0 = 0. That's what I'm saying. I suspect that somewhere the new facts on the ground, what I call the chazaka to the sheni, plays a role over here. Otherwise, nothing gets off the ground. But again, it still leaves me very uncomfortable because you're only introducing a third factor here. There are three variables. You know, it's A plus B and C. You know, when we combine this weaker version, the watered down version of Rav Hamnuna, with the watered down version of the Pesha Asar, with the fact that she's created a new chazaka because she got married before the Edom came in, and that was a legitimate marriage bishaito, we put that all together and we say in this case lo teitz. It's not gishmak. You know what I'm saying? Das ist nicht klar.
I missed Pontius here in the last few weeks. The whole concept of Gerishtani without having the Getzaid is something I
understand. Okay, that's true. That's a race. So what happened to the Getz? So the Gemara makes a distinction, and the details I can't iron out for you, but the Gemara makes a distinction between how much time went by, or is it very recently? In other words, what is she saying? She got divorced yesterday? Where's the Get? But if she says she got married 5 years ago, then it's not such a race. But I'm just saying the Gemara is very choppy. It's not smooth. So what about Man Demasli Asim, that's Rabbah Bar Ovin, Lesle de Rav Hamnuna? So in other words, if Rabbah would have admitted that Rav Hamnuna applies here in this case, I mean, it's interesting when the Gemara says Lesle de Rav Hamnuna, I don't think that should be taken literally either, because he may accept Rav Hamnuna, but only when it's
Mephadah.
If it's Shalom Mephadah and now you have a Chazaka Klusha, maybe that's what he's rejected. The Gemara says lo, the Kuli Alma Isle de Rav Hamnuna, even Rabbah Bar Ovin admits that this drawback, secondary kind of ein isha me'iz upon it. But hacha b'hacha mifli. Demar sovar ki itmar d'Rav Hamnuna b'fanov. Aval shalom b'fanov me'iza. In other words, what the Gemara is suggesting now is that Rabbah Bar Ovin doesn't accept the chazaka klusha when it's shalom b'fara, because adarava, she can be meis paneha. Not the way we said it, that, you know, there is some indication and some evidence supporting that she's telling the truth, but that there's no evidence whatsoever. So don't tell me about Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna is irrelevant. Umar Sabah Rav Oshi is of the opinion Shalobifanov Nami Eina Meiza. And basically this statement of the Gemara here about Rav Oshi reminds me of Perek Cheskes Abatim. The Gemara says that even if the Marakama, the original owner of the field, is nowhere to be found, so what good is the chazaka of the machzik? Because he's claiming, why didn't you say anything? Maybe he didn't know about it. So the Gemara says, no, it'll somehow get to the ears of the Marakama. Here too, even though she's not saying it in the presence of her husband, everybody and every yenta, and you don't even have to be a yenta, will finally get the word back to her husband. Oh, you had a divorce. Interesting.
Facebook,
right? Facebook, right? Okay. Again, he has a similar footnote, almost a repetition of what we saw before. He writes, "Ein kavonas hagmara lomar shekemosha eino isha meiza bifnei ba'alakach eino meiza afilu shelo bifnei ba'ala." Shariim Kane, Madua Omar Atana Shali Akha Shaboa Aidim Vidushiesh, he asurali nase. So it cannot be that the Gemara is insisting, according to Rav Oshi, there's an absolute equation between Bifnei Baila and Shalom Bifnei Baila. El Kavana Sagmar Lidamos Ishnei Hanyonim, almost word for word what he said already. I have a feeling there were two different writers here, or something went fluky. He says, Sheim Rav Hamnuna Matir Saisha Bifnei Baila. Kishi Omeris Gerashtani is that Yafilu Shalom if they bali yesh chazoka klusha she'ein hi mi'iza l'shaker v'lachain kol she'ein ole cheskas eishes ish, which means before the second pair of Eidim came in, I mean actually there was only one pair of Eidim before the Eidim came in, is yesh lahatir osa gam kishi avo Eidim via idu Shehi hoisa eishes ish. Avakol shebo ha'edim v'yomru eishes ish lifnei shomer niskarashti einen emen islomer niskarashti shalom b'fnei baila, because then she doesn't have a full chazaka of Rav Hamnuna. U'besvarazu nechleku Rav Oshia v'rava bar ovid. Vaita. The Mishnah says, im mishe niseis bo eidim, if after she gets married the Eidim come, the Gemara now wants to know, at what point is it considered Misha Nises? Should we take this Gemara, this Mishnah, literally? She went ahead and she got married. Omar Avu de Shmuel lo Nises, Nises Mamish. Don't take this Mishnah literally. Elekevan she tiru li nase, he tiru ali nase, afal pishlo Nises. It's not totally on the Nisuin, which I wanted to say creates a new chazaka, but on the heter bezdin, once bezdin were matir her, and I'll tell you something deliberate, because this is going to be a preview of coming attractions in the sugya, that she would be very smart if she ran into bezdin before the Eidim came and grabbed on to her peshas and peshahitir, forced the dayanim to deliver a verdict that she's allowed to get married, because then she's protected from Eidim that come later. So if she has an inkling of an idea that somewhere on the face of the earth there are two Jews, you know, two Heiliga Jews who know that she got married, and why shouldn't there be? She'd be well advised by her Yoatzim to run into the first Bezdin, you know, closest Bezdin on the street, and testify, Eishas Isha Yisi Vinis Garashti, get the heter from Bezdin, and then she's protected according to Avuah de Shmuel, even if the Eidim come later. The Gemara doesn't like Avuah de Shmuel because of the language of the Mishnah. It says, "V'ha'ah lo teitzei k'tani." So Avuah de Shmuel answers, "Lo teitzei mehetera harishon." We don't remove her from the heter that was given to her by Bezdin.
That gives you a chazaka.
Exactly. That gives me a chazaka, or that goes my chazaka?
Yeah, it goes
my chazaka. Oh. So I want to suggest the following: that the chiddush here of Avuah d'Shmuel is that the heter nisuin creates a chazok, because the psak bezdin creates a heter, and that's a chazok. We don't want to remove that heter. Again, all this is according to Rav Oshia. Tana Rabbana. Now we get back to the case of Shvuya. So she comes into Bezdin and she says, Nishbesi utahorani. And what happens now? Tana Rabbana. Amra Nishbesi utahorani, v'yeshli edim shetahorani. She says, I have two witnesses to support my claim that nothing happened during that period of captivity. Now keep in mind, she would be believed even without these Eidim, based on a Peshos and Peshita. We have no independent evidence that she was a Shvuya. Ein omrim namtin ad she yovo ha'edim Eidim elamatirin osam miyad. We don't have to wait for the Eidim to show up and testify in her behalf that she's a Tahora, because we're relying on her word insofar as she has a Peshos or Peshahid.
Funny she says that she has Eidim. Mm-hmm. We haven't done the Drisha Hakir of those Eidim. How do we know that the Eidim are going to be...
Because it's irrelevant. Regardless of whether she has Eidim, we would be Matira based on Peshos or Peshahid.
When she says Gershtan or Lotzi Meisi, whatever it is,
right,
she knows, she's stating facts.
Right.
But we said you got Eidim, she doesn't know. She might think she's got Eidim, those Eidim might fail for some other Ukraine, whatever it is. Well, she knows Hilchos Eidus.
You know, you're 100% correct, but the question is, do we, if her case stands or falls on the basis of the testimony that this future testimony that's supposed to take place, then you're right, we should be waiting for the Eidim and see, let's investigate to find out if they're reliable or whatever. But since her case doesn't stand or fall based on the Eidim, this is a case where she's believed even without Eidim. Because she has a Peshos and Peshahit there. Uh-huh. Then why should we bother waiting for the Eidim? Let's in a sense discount or bracket her statement that I have Eidim and put it in on the back burner. Well, again,
I statement of Eidim for her time.
Right. I mean, in other words, on the contrary, she's claiming that the Eidim will support her.
Do we make a distinction between that? In other words, the Peshas is like a bidya. In other words, it's not ideal. In other words, we're kind of, you know, we're working with
in this, the Hava Minar. I think you're correct. That maybe the Peshas is not.
In other words, that's not ideal.
That's not ideal.
If we can get two Eidim,
let's wait for the Eidim.
Right. In other words, that's
going to. So Kamashma, no, the Peshas is ideal. And we're going to be mater to marry a Kohen without the Eidim. But what the Gemara is now leading up to is what happens, and I think, Daniel, maybe you almost touched on this. I don't know if you actually touched on it, but you came very close if you didn't. What happens? The Eidim come into Bezdin, and lo and behold, to the shock of everyone, they testify that Nitmeis, that she had a relationship. So the Gemara says the following. Okay. Hitirua li nase vi achikach bo edim vi amru lo yadanu. The edim now come in and they claim in naivete, we don't know what exactly went on. We can only tell you that she was a shvuya. Is harezu lo teitze. And why is that? And again, according to Avuah d'Shmuel, it means lotetze mehetera harisha, meaning once Bezdin was
they haven't done anything. I mean, they're just standing there like, you know.
Right. This is all an introduction to the next case.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this case doesn't seem to be.
In this case, they're neutral.
They're neutral. Nothing's.
But again, it's just a reiteration of what we know, namely, because again, the Braisa sometimes reiterates what we know from the Mishnah, especially if it's leading up to a Chiddush. Namely, that even though the Eidim now remove from under her legs, as I call it, under the rug under her feet,
right,
the Peshas are, nevertheless, we gave her a heter to marry, we're not going to rescind that heter.
Oh, but now, it's when they're actually contradicting her, you know, she said Eidim
correct
support
her. Correct. She said that the Eidim knew enough to support her, but the Eidim deny that. Oh, now Vimbo Eidim Tuma, what happens if Eidim come in and they testify that we know and we saw that she had a relationship with a guy?
She said she did not.
We gave her a heter linase, but now we have edim to the contrary. Is afili yesh lo kama banim teitze. She got married to a Kohen. Now keep in mind, all the children from that marriage are halalim. Why? Because her status was out of a zona, and we proved that based on the evidence of two witnesses that testify nitmes. And now by removing her from her Kohen husband, all the children are going to become halalim. The Gemara says, so what? That's the hard, you know, the hard, difficult facts of life, because we have now to edim that nitmes, that she became psula lakuna as a zona, and therefore the children from her marriage to a Kohen are halalim. Now, what I don't understand here,
the question of Yuchsin, how do we know, like, say the first child is not, it's a child from the Kohen and not from the
I hear.
That's another Yuchsin issue.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You're right. That's a fascinating question. But he's asking, how do we know who the father is? You know, maybe the guy is the father.
And there was 9 months later, there's a child, but who said it's right from...
So maybe your question could answer my question. Just give me one split second.
The time that she was, child.
Can somebody here?
The father of the child is.
Can somebody here explain? And maybe your question, Aaron, is the answer to this. Why does he write over here again? Usually Masifta doesn't invent things. 99 out of 100. Cases, he tells you where he got it from. In this case, I'm not sure where he got it from. But listen to what he says. He says, "Afilu yesh lo kama bonim me'akoyin shenises lo im nomar lotzeis mimenu onamotziim laz al boneha shechalolim hem." Now, this I don't understand. What does it mean, onamotziim laz? Laz.
As opposed to the status of halal?
Yeah, laz is a word that's applicable when, technically, according to strict letter of the law, we have someone who's kosher, but people are going to spread rumors and suspect that he's a apostle. This is not a question of laz. We have two edim that she was nitmes. I don't get it. Let me read it one more time. It says... But that's irrelevant. Why? Because now we know that she was a zonah at the time.
Normally, when a woman she's asked for a kohen, right, marries, every moment she's chayv not say it. Here, she was not chayv not say it until the eidim came along.
Right, but why?
So maybe they have a minna that in the meantime they're not halal.
But again, he's saying that it's a hotzos laz. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then I was thinking, maybe Aaron, your question before could be relevant here, because maybe we don't know who the father of this child is. I don't know. So I just don't understand what he's saying. And he doesn't tell you where he got it from. I looked in Rashi. Rashi is quiet. Rashi just says, "Yesh lo kama bonim min ha-kohen hazeh she-nesah." But he doesn't tell you that it's laz.
It's called the Rashi concept.
Ooh, you know what? Maybe look in the art scroll. Maybe he'll tell you where this came from. Do you mind, Aaron, getting it?
Or
if you don't mind. You know where it is. It's on the wall straight ahead.
Is there a class going on in there?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think they finished.
Okay. Where is this machine?
Just straight ahead. Don't look to your left, look to the right. Just straight ahead on the wall.
It's called the Raisa or Rabban concept.
The Raisa? In the case of the Zona? We're dealing here with the Raisas. I don't know why. What does he mean? I'm going to underline it here because, in case we don't. What do you mean, motziim laz? What kind of motziim laz? This is a real chalolis doraisa. I don't know what he means by this. And Rashi doesn't say it. Let's see if there's any tosis maybe that he got it from.
Normally when a Kohen marries a Grusha, we all know cases, I'm sure, where this has happened.
Right?
So the moment the boy is born, you know, any from rabbi says, boy's a figure, it's a chal from the day he's born.
Right.
Here this kid might be 10 years old when he didn't come along, and he's been going through school like a normal child. It's not the end of the world to be a chal. They put a figure, now we need lads because he's been becheskas kosher until the day this kid, the age is coming on.
Thank you so much. Let's see if by chance he says something. footnote number 31. Although the woman was believed previously by virtue of her Peshasa principle, and she's already married to a Kohen, her word does not carry any weight at all when it's contradicted by two witnesses. This is not law. So I don't know. I was hoping for a miracle, you know.
So, you didn't like my test? I think my test works.
No, because again, Daniel, the technical word las. Las is a technical word.
Yeah.
Las, if you don't mind, just put some hot water in here.
Hot water?
Yeah. Or better still, fill this up with hot water, and then I'll pour it into here, okay. And I'll make a mishmash out of it. Thanks. The word las has a specific meaning. Laz means when me ikar adin, there's no psul. Right? So, for example, you know, if, what's the case of Otsas Laz over there in the sixth parak of Yevamos, you know, where her husband went out to Medina Sayam, and we're worried that if she gets married, then there'll be laws on the children when really we believe that he's dead, or whatever it might be. But laws is always in a case where it's not mikudin. Okay, if there was a way, thank you, of writing a letter to the editor, you know.
Right, why does he use the word laws here?
Why does he use the word laws here?
I can still see circumstances, right? Many years later, the boy's a teenager.
But it's not a laws. There's a halacha of a chalal. It's not a laws.
Yeah, but what I'm suggesting is they've already shouted him to
you're saying laws that you should. Laws meaning you have an obligation to spread the word.
Right. Even though he's trying to fit it into.
No, so maybe that's what it means. Allah plays a laws, and we have an obligation to spread the word.
This child's got a chazaka of a egchol.
But again, it's a very loose use of the term. I would have written anu motz anu kovim or poslim osam b'toras chalim. All right, let's go on. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Now the truth is, I have to tell you, I find this story very painful for me. Very painful. Maybe you'll give me some chizuk here. Hani shvuyasa de asil lenardo. So unfortunately, a bunch of Jewish girls were taken by the goyim as captives, and now the goyim, of course, they want ransom money. So what they do is they come into the city of Nardah, and it seems that the first address they go to, these no goodniks, is the Bezdin. That the Bezdin at that time, I guess, was the negotiating, thing. The Israelis would say, we don't negotiate with terrorists, but you know, we got to get these girls out of Shevi, so we have to negotiate. Is Osiv Avur de Shmuel Nitore means Lashon Netir, which is Shomrim, Behadaihu. In other words, while the negotiating was going on, he set up Shomrim amongst these Goyim to make sure that they would not violate these Jewish girls, meaning they would be embarrassed, you know, during this process to, in the presence of these Jewish supervisors or officers, to go ahead and rape these Jewish girls now. So the son of Avur de Shmuel is, of course, Shmuel himself. I mean, Shmuel is one of the greatest of all Amoraim. Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel turns to his father, and he says to him, V'ad ha'idna man natrinhu? You know, we're at the end of a long process here. These girls have been in Shevi for 6 months. I don't know how long. It doesn't say. Now, who is watching them during the 6 months? Amalei, so the father of Shmuel says to Shmuel, Ilu binasa chavyan, if these were your own daughters, mi havis mezalzalei bahu kulei hai, would you use such a language and say, who's watching them until now? I want to make sure that they don't get violated now. You tell me they were already violated, right? Nobody was watching them before. So what? Therefore we treat them as hefker? Imagine if they were your own daughters. And the Gemara now quotes a pasuk in Koheles. And anytime you quote a pasuk in Koheles, it's not good news. Havai, the words of Avur de Shmuel were, quote unquote, the pasuk in Koheles, Kishgaga hayotza miflei hashavet. The shalit here is a symbol, is a metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, then it comes to pass. In this case, Avuah D'Shmuel is, you know, it's like a tzaddik gozer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. And it was a shkaga. He didn't mean to really say that Shmuel's daughters would be taken captive. Something along that line. Vishtabion Bansei Demar Shmuel. And as a result, the daughters of Shmuel were taken into captivity. Now again, how long the period of time passed? I mean, did it happen the same day? I don't know. But it happened. Now the Mefarshim all explain that Shmuel was misunderstood by his father. He didn't really mean to say what? We shouldn't prevent. Of course, Shmuel.
You're talking about from a halachic point of view.
Yeah, that she's. He thought that Avuah D'Shmuel was trying to save her and allow her to marry a Kohen.
Right.
He said, "What do you mean? You can't allow her to marry a Kohen. Even if you prove to me,
right,
based on this, these shomrim, that for the last week or so she wasn't violated, but she was captive already for months. She can't marry a Kohen. So what do you gain by that? You know, Shmuel was looking at it on a halachic level. What halachically do you gain by guaranteeing that from this point in time and on she was not violated? In any event, she can't marry Kohen, because there were no shomrim until now. But Avuah D'Shmuel was upset with the way Shmuel expressed himself. He was sort of like mizalzel, and he said to him, natrinu. So Avuah D'Shmuel got upset with that.
Sounds a little bit like the story of the Cain who was killed running up the
ramp,
and the father comes along and says, "Well, let's take the knife up before he dies, so we can save the knife from Tuna." It's a sort of a lack of sympathy to the situation,
right?
Where the halacha man becomes
right. Like the story about the rebellion prisoner.
Right.
You know, how long is until she expires? So I can know whether to put on tefillin and say Kriyat Shema.
The halacha man becomes halachic.
You're right. So again, Avuah D'Shmuel got upset because he thought Shmuel was being insensitive. He was using a lashon of zilzul. And therefore he said, would you say the same thing if it was your daughter who was taken into captivity? Askinu li ara di Yisrael. So these goyim who had captured the daughters of Shmuel went up to Eretz Yisrael in order to walk into the Beis Din there and negotiate and try to extract as much of a ransom as they possibly could. Okman lishavoyanhu miavroi. So what they did was, and I'm not sure if Shmuel was the one behind this whole ploy, they made sure that the goyim didn't come into Bezdin. They were outside of Bezdin. In other words, they were trying to make sure that Bezdin was not aware of the fact that these girls were taken into captivity. And what did they gain by that? That now, if any of these girls will come into Beis Din before the Shovim, the captors will come into Beis Din, they have a Peshas of Peshavit. The Aili Lebe Midrash and Rab Chanino, and the girls, together with Shmuel, I guess, or whoever it was, they went into the Beis Medrash to Rabbi Chanino, where he would paskin, and they made the claim that although it's true we were captured, but Tohorani. So what did Rav Chanina say? Ha'amra nishpesi u'tohorani. This one said she was captured and she's Torah. Ve'ha, and this one, amra nishpesi u'tohorani. Sharinu. So Rav Chanina went ahead and he said they're allowed to marry a Kohen. And why is that? Because we learned through the Mishnah, Peshasa Peshahit. Sof, I guess a few minutes later, I don't know how long, al asu shavinu. So the captors came in, and Beis Din all of a sudden realized that these girls were Shmuyos. Now, I'm not exactly sure where the Eidus is at this point, but in any event, the word got out, and it was quite crystal clear and objectively proven that they were Shmuyos. Now, Rabbi Chanina understood that this whole thing was a ploy, that they kept the Shmuyim, the Shovim outside the Beis Din so that the girls would get ahead to marry. Rabbi Chanina, Binan de Moran Yinu. I don't know who these girls are, but I can tell you for sure they are the daughters of some sort of Gavra Rabba, because they knew the Psak Halacha to extract from me a Heter Bezdin in order to guarantee that they'll be allowed to marry Cohen. Igloy Milsa, what happened when Ramanina finally researched it, he found out that these were the daughters of Shmuel. Omalei Rav Chanina l'Rav Shaman Bar Abba. Rav Shaman Bar Abba was a relative of Shmuel, and he was also a Kohen. Poke, go out, and itapal b'krovasach, marry your relatives, meaning the daughters of Shmuel. This is like a shotgun wedding. Omalei Rav Shaman Bar Abba says to Rabbi Chanina, Va'ika Eidim b'medina sayam. In other words, what kind of Peshas or Peshah Hayhita does she have? You want to be Matar the Kohen? We know that there are Eidim out there in Medina Sayyam.
Eidim that would be saying what?
That she was a Shmuel. Because again, yeah.
She already came in and said, they all came in and said, we were Shmuel, but we didn't.
So that's where Rav Chanina answers Rav Shaman, Hashtabias, less than come on. Right now, there are no Eidim. And they are believed with a Peshas and Peshahitim. And then, to add a kind of a figurative phrase of drama, he says, Eidim b'tzad Aston v'teoser. Aston is up in the north. He says, if let's say there are Eidim up in the north, that know that she was a Shvuya, is therefore we're going to prohibit these girls to con him? Right now, the Eidim are not here. So the Gemara asks you a question, Aaron. Tama Delawasu Eidim. The reason why Rav Chanan is matir these girls to con him is because the Eidim aren't here. Ha'asu Eidim, if the Eidim would come in, is mitasra? How is that true? Va'amar avud Shvuel kevin shetirua li nasei afal pishalo niseis, is she's allowed to get married to a Kohen. Meaning Rav Chanina had already given the heter, so that's called hitiru li nasei. And Abba Shmuel was the one, avud Shmuel was the one who said that once there's a heter that was granted, then we don't remove the pesha asar,
right,
and she's allowed to marry a Kohen. So now the Gemara basically doesn't understand why did Rav Chanina, when he responded to Rav Shaman, say to him that the Eidim are not here yet? And what, when they come, the law would change? What about Avud Shmuel? Or Rav Ashi? What was the chash of Rav Shaman Bar Avua? Eidei Tuma Itmar. He was afraid that maybe the Eidim would come in and testify not to the effect that she was a Shvuya, that these girls from Shmuel were daughters of Shmuel were Shvuyos, but that we know that they had Be'ila to the Shoveim. No, if what do you mean? If two Eidim testify that they had Be'ila?
Yeah, that does turn it over.
Yeah, that was the whole reason I asked you to go. To schlep for me. If Eidim come in and testify, yeah, we saw the Be'ila.
After she said
that she can't marry Cohen.
After it's established that she
right. The heteruli nasi is only in a suffix situation. Okay. Meaning, if she's a Shvuya, we don't know that she had Be'ila. So she had a Pesha Asa. We gave her a heter.
Right.
The Pesha Asa was removed based on Eidei Shvuya. That's good. We have a suffix, but there was a heteruli nasi. We're not going to undermine that heteruli nasi based on the Eidim. But if the Eidim testify that we know that she was Nitmeis, that's exactly what a Zona is. You know, that's a Zona with a capital Z. You know,
and you can't bring Rabbi Amnon because it's a completely different. There's no question of Meis here, as there is in the Nation Sish.
So that's the end of the Sugya. If we have a few minutes, I wouldn't mind starting the Mishnah, if that's okay with you, on Daf Chav Gimel and Beis. The Mishnah says the following. Now let me just give an introduction. The Mishnah wants to know what happens if a woman who's a Shvuya wants to testify on behalf of herself and also on behalf of another Shvuya. There were a group of girls, unfortunately, that were taken captive. So the Mishnah says, "Shtei Nashim Shenishbu." right? And now there are Edim that testify in Beis Din about these two women that they were captured. Zoso meres nishbesi utaharani. In the first case of the Mishnah, each girl is testifying only on her own behalf, and she says nothing about her friend. Zoso meres nishbesi utaharani. Enom nemons. In other words, once we have Edim that she was captured, she doesn't have a Peshas or Peshehitir, and that's the case of a Shmuya, and she cannot marry a Kohen. Ubizman she me'ido zu es zu. But if each one of these two girls testifies on behalf of the other one, hare elu nemonos, we could be metayer the other one and allow her to marry to a Kohen based on the testimony of the other Shmuya. In fact, we're going to learn later on in the Mishnah Daf of Zion that even a Shivcha, who's not usually believed in Edus, or for that matter an Eved, who's possibly Edus, could be believed in a case of a Shvuya. Why? Because again, the whole business of a Shvuya is only Chashash Derabbana, that maybe she was violated. And therefore, the Rabbanan allowed lowering the standards of Edus, and accepting someone who we believe is telling the truth, even though technically he doesn't have the status of an Eid. And here too, each one of these girls can testify on behalf of the other one. So what she says about herself, that's irrelevant. But what she says about her friend, that serves as Eidus. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa. This Braisa has four different parts to it. It has what's called the Reisha Dereisha, then it has a Reisha, then it has Emtzayis, and then it has a Sefer. And these are four different cases in which two girls were Shvuyos, and they testify about each other and about themselves. And basically, since they're two variables, there are four possibilities, four scenarios. In one scenario, both of them testify that we're both Tahoros. In another scenario, they both testify we're both Tmeos. And in the middle two scenarios, one testifies about herself that she's a Tmea, and the other one about her that she's a Torah, or vice versa. And the Bryce is going to work out all the dinim in all these cases. So we'll just learn, because we're going to doubt my example, we'll just learn the first two cases in the Bryce. Tana Rabbanan, ani tmeya v'chaverti tahora. By her own admission, she confesses to the fact that she was violated. Is nemetz. She's believed in both. She's believed, number one, because of what's called shavya nafshi chatifa disur, that she's not allowed to marry Kohen. And again, she has the power, as we saw in the Mishnah, to be metayer her friend. She's not worse than a shivchar and ever. Ani tahora v'chaverti tmeya. So in this case, I would have assumed she's not believed on herself.
Wait, the edus of a woman in this case, are there just that issue of women?
In Shvuya, a woman is believed. Even a shifcha is believed. But now she can't be believed on herself. Fine. But chaverti tmeya, I would have thought she's believed on her friend, to say that she knows her friend was violated. Ain't on a menace. She's not believed.
Where does the halacha allow women to be eidim?
Correct. That's an isa mehetha. Here we're talking about a davish be'erva, but it's only an isa derabbanan. Why? Because we don't know that she was violated. So the chashash derabbanan that set her up as a psul kahuna is derabbanan said we can rely on one witness, even on a woman, even on a shivcha, but that's only lahatir. The other way around, to asra to a kohen, that we won't believe one witness. For that, we need two witnesses. So the rabbanu would make il to be matira to a kohen and relied on one witness, even a shivcha. But one witness is not enough to establish that she's a tmeya to create an isa to kohen. And on this, the Gemara is going to go ballistic, because who cares whether she's believed or not? She's a Shvuya. We have Edim that she's a Shvuya. All right then? So we'll stop here.
next week we do not have shiur.
Right, 2 weeks from tonight.
And we're, but you're back.
You want to open the door if you don't mind? So we can answer both.